Welcome back to Off the Record, a Gerstner Adam Law podcast. My name is Paul Adam.
Colin Gerstner.
Last podcast we had Judge Amy Eddy. She was excellent.
Great.
Man, that was a ton of fun. If you haven't watched episode 4, go back and watch that one. She was a great guest, great content.
I'd venture to say not only the best podcast that we've made, maybe ever in the history of podcasts. It was a good one.
Undoubtedly. I mean, that has set the bar high for guests and certainly, yeah, the content that might be helpful to listeners too. But today, you've just got Colin and I, and it's going
to
be good.
Yeah, I think so. We're back just Paul and I yakking about the law. And today I'd like to talk about unforeseen issues that may come up when you're hurt at work. Issues, you know, reporting to your boss, getting medical treatment, and things to look out for. So we see a lot of injuries here, me in the personal injury context mostly, and you do a lot of workers' comp. And sometimes it's obvious, right? It could be a traumatic event, car crash, or some significant injury where you're taken to the hospital and your boss clearly knows at that moment that you've been hurt
right on
the clock. But I want to talk about some stuff that may be non-obvious that we see sometimes here.
Yeah, and these are most of our calls, I think, are issues that, you know, folks aren't calling us and saying, hey, what are my rights when it comes to my wage loss benefits with work comp? Or, you know, like, hey, you know, should the workers' comp insurer be paying for this type of medical service? I mean, those are the benefits and the rights that you know, we deal with every day, but it's issues that are much more uncommon.
For sure. It could be a firefighter tweaking your back, step into your truck. You could have repetitive use injury, you know, manual job, and, you know, you've hurt your shoulders. You just kind of power through, right, because you're tough. Eventually it reaches, you know, a tipping point where you need medical care for this injury that's kind of accumulated on the job. So what should you do in that situation?
Yeah, and so, Colin, you're kind of talking about and what we call an occupational disease. And, you know, when you think of a disease, you know, it's not what comes to mind. In work comp, there's two types of claims. You're either going to have an acute injury with a date of injury that you know exactly when it happened because that's when you fell, or that's when you lifted something and hurt yourself. Or you're going to have an occupational disease where this might be persistent pain or growing pain over a prolonged period of time, maybe several months, maybe several years. And it gets to the point where it's just like, man, I got to go see somebody, or I need to mention this to my employer that, like, yeah, I used to be able to stock shelves and lift this pallet or lift this box up to the top rack. And I can't do that anymore. Maybe it's my back or my shoulders. And so those are the tough ones because you don't have a specific date, but you don't need one. It's an occupational disease is what it is.
So there's got to be some sort of deadline though, right? So what are some important dates when you realize you have an occupational disease?
Yeah, and this is a commonly disputed issue in these types of claims is the issue of notice. And it's, you know, the law will say it's when you knew or when you should have known that your condition was related to your work. Okay, and so most of the time it's easy that if you have a, let's say your back has been progressively hurting more and more over a period of time. You go see a doctor, they're like, boy, I don't know what it is. You know, you're just getting old. And then he's like, but, you know, you need an MRI. And so you get that objective medical evidence, and lo and behold, it shows a massively herniated disc in your lower back. And they're like, oh, that didn't happen from, just getting old and degeneration. Like, that happened because your ongoing, your ongoing work in a heavy duty occupation.
So how do you get a workers' comp claim going at that point?
Yep. And so you use that date, for example, the MRI date, or, you know, when the results were discussed with you, you use that date as your date of injury. And you report it to your employer. You know, you have 30 days, really from that date that you knew or should have known that it was related to work. And so you do need a specific date of injury. But that's the difference there. And it's not the date of an acute moment in time.
Okay. So then you let your boss know, or who do you let know with your employer about this injury?
Yeah. So most of the time it's your, you know, your direct supervisor is probably the best. It can be, you know, maybe it's the HR department at a bigger employer, but someone in a supervisory role. But also it could be, I've seen this before too, where you also may know who the work comp insurer is. And so there is, the statute also allows you to notify the work comp insurer in place of the employer.
Okay. So we've been around the block a few times, and we know that sometimes an employer isn't happy to hear that there's a comp claim. So what if you are hurt, you find out you had this MRI, find out you have an occupational disease, go to your boss and say, hey man, I need to get a comp claim going, I'm hurt. And he says, no.
Yeah.
Right. What do you do then?
Yeah. Usually they won't tell you directly no. They'll usually say, yeah, sure, I'll do that. And then it never happens. Or I don't really think you were hurt at work. I think that's something else.
No, that's the thing we're seeing the most, right?
Yeah.
Is they're like, no, there's no way, right? You're old. Or I've seen you battle your back the whole time you've been here. And they'll debate with you whether you're actually hurt on the job.
Yeah. And, you know, there are also great employers out there that understand the system and understand they have insurance for exactly this. But there are also employers that are thinking, oh my gosh, this claim is going to increase my premiums on my work comp insurance. And so there is somewhat an incentive for employers to, you know, not have claims on their policy. And so that's usually the rub. That's usually why you might have an employer who's hesitant to be helpful in filing that claim.
Sure. So what do you do in that situation?
So the system allows you to bypass the employer altogether to get that claim filed. And it's set up for exactly this reason. And so there's a form out there called the First Report of Injury. And this is a form on the Department of Labor website, the Employment Relations Division. It's got a link. It has instructions on how to fill it out. It's a one-page document. and that you fill that out, sign it. You do not need the employer's signature. In fact, you don't need the employer's permission, and then you can send that directly to the Department of Labor to initiate the claim.
So we're also not naive to believe that employer will be happy to know you've filed the first report of injury directly with the comp corps and the insurer. What protections do you have if you get canned, right? The boss is upset and just fires you.
Yeah, and I mean, it does. It can build to that. If you filed a claim and the employer doesn't like it, they may find a reason to try and get rid of you. And they may use something else as a pretext for that termination, but we see this fairly often, where somebody is terminated from their job and they think it's because of the comp claim. So that does. That opens up just more avenues of recovery because you do have protections. The first, I guess, would be filing a workers' compensation claim or being hurt at work. You do become part of a protected class for discrimination. And so the Human Rights Bureau up in Helena, they investigate these discrimination claims and you're the disability is the protected class that you would fall under. And so they do their investigation and they could find the employer, you know, has discriminated against you because of that comp claim.
Yeah, the MHRB is in it's an interesting process. And so we've done it before. We don't typically handle employment cases, but we have, and we do in contexts like this where you've been fired because you've been hurt on the job, right? An employer decides you're not worth it anymore and fires you. Unfortunately, I wouldn't say it happens often, but it happens.
Yeah.
And so you file your charge of discrimination, is what it's called, before the Human Rights Bureau. The employment investigator, they look into it, and the issue is either a cause or no cause finding.
Yep.
And there's a whole administrative process from there. But you do have a remedy there if you prove that you were fired because you've been hurt.
Yeah, and you know, one of the best parts about it, I think, is they have a staff that investigates those claims. And so it's not on you to gather the evidence, or it's not on the law firm to gather the evidence. They have an investigator that does the interviews, comes up with their findings, and then you can do with those findings what you want. Maybe that leads to a lawsuit of a wrongful termination as well. And so, you know, Colin, we have taken some wrongful termination cases. We've litigated those. We've settled those. I guess what's your thoughts? I'd like to ask you your thoughts on handling wrongful termination cases at a personal injury and work comp firm.
Yeah. So I guess first off, we want to get you back to work if you need to. And so we always tell clients, go look for employment, right? And so you do, under the law of a duty, it's what we call a duty to mitigate your damages.
Yep.
It's not an obligation to find other work. But even beyond the legal obligation, just on a personal level, we want you out there working. We find that people do better when they try to get back in the routine, get better. So we always tell you, hit the job market, dust off that resume, and look for a new job that you can do, hopefully the same skill set. And if things work out well, you won't have a wage loss, right? Hopefully you can find a comparable job that you enjoy.
Yeah.
It gets paid the same. But if not, then we will pursue that claim. You can file, this might be in the weeds a little bit, but basically parallel actions. We can file a disability discrimination claim because you're fired, because you're hurt on work. Then also a wrongful discharge claim. Under Montana law, we're a cause state. We're not an at-will state. Mm. And so once you're past your probationary period, which is an issue, but if you're past your probationary period, either set by your work or set by law, your employer needs cause to fire you, right? They can't fire you just willy-nilly.
Yeah.
And so that's always the fight, is whether the employer had good cause to terminate your employment.
Yeah. And, I would say, we've just unloaded a ton of different avenues from the same set of facts here. But this is kind of what you get at a firm like ours, because, you can pursue all of these different avenues. We handle them, but it still doesn't cost you anything. And what I mean by that is these are all contingency fee cases, right?
Sure. No, it can be daunting, right? You have an attorney for different cases, could be against the work comp employer, against your former employer itself. And it's scary. And then oftentimes people are wondering, like, oh man, what's this going to cost? Right. And can I bear the risk of, striking on these cases and then have, an attorney's bill on top of that? And the good thing is that we take these on a contingency fee. And so you only owe us, if and when we recover on your behalf.
Yeah. And it's not, It shouldn't be overwhelming for a prospective client to know what types of claims they want to pursue. I want clients to call us and be comfortable just presenting a set of facts and saying, what are my options? That's the best. Don't come in thinking, you can come in thinking you want a certain avenue, but this is what we're trained on. This is what our experience has led us to is we're going to present all available options, all available courses of action, and then have a discussion with you on which courses we should take, what are our best chances of success. Because there's some folks that they just do not want to go after the employer. Mm-hmm. or there's some folks that only want to go after the employer. And so, you know, I think that's unique to us, is that we're happy to meet you where you're at. And, you know, we're gonna take our direction from what the client wants.
Sure. And I always want, you know, clients to, you know, talk to us about their issues, right? So we could find other remedies for them. And also, you know, life can be messy. And so they could be having issues beyond, you know, their injury case that they may need counsel for. And, you know, we want to get them set up with a good attorney. If it's something outside our wheelhouse, we'll refer it out. And we'd rather have them go to, you know, a good attorney that they can trust than, you know, search around the dark for an attorney to represent them on whatever issue they're facing, or just not facing that issue altogether.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and this is a great, you know, probably some of our best cases are, you know, maybe even some of our most contentious issues have come from, you know, these peripheral paths, from just the personal injury or just the work comp. And so, yeah, don't shy away from giving us a call, because you think you have one certain type of issue. If it relates to an injury and it's somebody else's fault, we want to know about it.
Yeah. It's kind of funny. We have a client who called in about a current injury issue. And then as you were talking to him, you learn about this other injury that happened, 3 years ago. And that's not why he called, but you're able to help him out on that claim as well.
Yeah. I'm thinking of another one. We got an online inquiry. An older gentleman had, filled out the online, you know, text box, about needing some tax advice. And this was for, do I need to withhold taxes on paying for this home health care worker? And that was the most pressing issue to him. But this stemmed from a comp claim, a catastrophic comp claim, that he had more rights and benefits that he was entitled to that he was completely unaware of. And we got that straightened out. And I mean, in that case, got him a life-changing result.
Yeah, terrific result.
Yeah. And so that's what I mean. You think you've got a certain set of facts that lead to a certain direction. And yeah, it doesn't always go the path that you think it will. This really stems from just the recent conversations that you and I have had, the recent phone calls that have come in. And it just needs to be emphasized that, we do a lot more than just work comp and PI. But it all stems from an injury. And so that's our expertise, is injury first and then finding the paths and the avenues of recovery that you can take from there.
And I also want to emphasize that, I'd say it's uncommon to be fired for doing a comp claim. I mean, most of our clients aren't fired, right?
No.
So I don't want to scare anybody from filing a comp claim. Let's talk about wrongful discharge. I mean, most of the time, first off, it's right under the law, right? And so they reasonably cannot hold it against you for you to enforce your legal rights. And most of them get it, right? I mean, how often do you say somebody's fired because of their work injury?
And I'll be honest, it's from an unsophisticated employer that hasn't been through the process and hasn't been advised on it. And so you might find it from small employers or fly-by-night operations, new employers that don't understand the process. And maybe that's it. Maybe it's just, you know, that they don't understand it. It might not be intentionally trying to hurt you or to be a burden to the process. It might just be they don't know any better.
But it happens. If it does, reach out to comp injury, us, or anybody else that is good at handling these claims.
Yeah. And it does. It this stuff keeps us busy. We love it. I will say, you know, we're coming off of, our busiest stretch of time at the practice is really probably the colder months of the year.
Sure.
And for a number of reasons, that's because everyone's at their desk working.
Sure.
During those times. But
so right now it's getting nice out. I think it's like 80 degrees outside. I'm wearing shorts and sandals. I know you can't see, but yeah, trust me, I am. It's beautiful. And we work hard here, but sometimes we're able to shake free from the desk. And Paul, would you like to share with the good people at home what you've been doing when you're not here working? You've picked up a project.
Yeah, I know where you're heading with this. I know you're kind of leading me into it. I'm happy to talk about it. I do. I have a, you know, some might call it an obsession at this point. I think that's a fair way to put it. I'm not going to shy away from that. But no, my quest to try to get as far away into the backcountry as quick as possible. That's just always kind of my goal in the summer at some point. And so this year it's led to trying to do this by inflatable raft with outboard motor. I'm not a boat owner. I am now, but I have never been before, so it's a completely new learning experience, to say the least.
Okay. And it's all run smoothly. You got a boat. You figured it out super quickly.
No, Colin. You're really setting me up here. No, it has not been smooth. Okay. It has been fun. It's been a great challenge, but I knew nothing of outboard motors or fuel lines or, you know, even inflatable rafts. And so, no, I have been stranded in the middle of Cooney Reservoir recently, I will say, because I didn't have my fuel lines, my quick disconnects attached properly, but just an opportunity to test out the oars. That's my big plans for the summer, is being able to use this craft to get into the backcountry on rivers, on lakes that most people, aren't going to.
Love it.
Yeah. What about you? What are your plans here for the summer?
Yeah. So, typical stuff, chasing around kids to different sports. I try to get away camping and fishing when I can, get away to the mountains. But what I'm really looking forward to this summer is I'm going to Alaska for a week.
Yeah, you are.
Aiming to catch some big fish. So that'll be fun.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Fly fishing, spin kite, you're off the coast, or what are you doing?
All the above. And so we'll be fly fishing in the river for salmon. We'll be out in the ocean, halibut, salmon, rockfish, all that stuff. And we're even flying into a mountain lake. So
it's fantastic.
Can't wait. It's going to be great.
No, that's going to be awesome. And Colin, I mean, when you can, I know that you do like to get away for a quick round of golf. Which, as do I would say. I think we talk about golf a lot more than we actually play golf. I think that's fair.
Definitely, yeah. And play golf is a loose term for me, at least. I just mostly just aimlessly whacking at a golf ball.
Yeah.
I don't know if I pay proper respect to the sport of golf. But I like to get out on the links, smack around a little bit.
Yeah, and we do have some Gerstner Adam Law promotional golf balls of a popular brand. We do not skimp. Will say when it comes to the Gerstner Adam Law swag golf balls.
So Titleist, we're advertising for you too here. So, if you want to sponsor the pod, just reach out.
Sure. But if you have made it this far into the podcast and you're still listening, there will be a code that pops up on the screen. Look for it. And then go to our website, and you will find a giveaway section on the website. Enter the code, and we will ship you a sleeve of the 2026 Gerstner Adam Law golf ball. And so just a thank you to making it this far into the podcast. We appreciate you. We appreciate the loyal listeners, the new listeners, and if you play golf, great. If you don't play golf, it can be a gift for someone who does.
One more question for you.
Okay.
So we talk about fighting insurance companies a lot, and it's metaphorical, right? We're battling through our words, and every on behalf. I have never struck an adjuster. That's my guarantee. I've never used physical force to advance a claim. But let's say you were to fight an adjuster physically. would you rather fight one giant adjuster or 100 toddler size adjusters?
Oh God, that is a great question. 100 toddler sized insurance adjusters. Which insurance company?
Let's go Allstate.
Allstate? Oh, I'll fight 100 Allstate toddlers. No problem. Yeah. Giant Allstate toddler. Yeah, no, I'll go 100.
Okay. That's what I would do too.
Oh, thanks for the burning question, Colin. That I did not see that coming. That is not something
that we
prepared for. Nope. That's great.
Thank you.
Thanks all. Appreciate you listening this far. We'll see you next time.